tēnei hōtaka. Welcome to the panel RNZ National. E whākina I tēnei. Coming up to the Olympics, where we discuss the action today, as well as what sort of conditions they are performing in. But it's the first time we've won three medals within 60 minutes. It's a hot Olympics this time around, we discuss. Also, rental affordability is declining around the country, with even cheaper regions becoming less affordable. New Massey University research reveals, we discuss that. Also, nurses have rejected the latest offer with DHBs, with strikes planned for August and September. Now back on the table, we talk about that on the program. And when it comes to grunt, the diesel trucks at Blackhead Quarry's Logan Point Quarry cannot compete with their electric rivals. We find out more about electric trucks. And New Zealand's best toastie has been announced. It's a South American marinated pork dish. Beautiful. What's your favourite recipe? We talked to one of the judges, but do you have a favourite toasty pie recipe? I certainly do. It's simply cheese, onion and mushrooms with pesto. What's yours? 2101. And a quick update on traffic. By the way, traffic slow in Wellington on State Highway 1, northbound between Plymouth and Pukerua Way. With me this afternoon in our... Well, both in Wellington, Victoria Stewart, partner and CEO of tech law firm Simmons Stewart. Victoria, welcome to the panel.
Hi, Wallace. Good to be here.
Good to have you on. And also Nick Ward, who's a screenwriter, with titles under his belt like Secondhand Wedding, Stickman. And I understand, Nick, you had a hand to play in the number one streaming title, Wellington Paranormal. Is that right?
Yes, I did. Isn't that a good one to have under your belt?
Oh, my gosh.
We think the Americans are watching it and over again on streaming because they can't figure out the New Zealand accent.
It's quite extraordinary. Is it quite a feat?
It is a feat. It is a feat because if you've seen Wellington Paranormal, it is unashamedly Wellington and unashamedly New Zealand. So they're obviously getting our sense of humour and it doesn't matter if they don't know what the bucket fountain is.
Yeah. All right. Now, the country's first vaccination event in Auckland, where 16,000 people due to receive a COVID-19 vaccine, is taking place over the next 3 days. It's underway now, actually. 12 vaccinators will be working each day of the event. This is the Vodafone Event Centre in Monaco. Now, the event is fully booked, so no walk-ins allowed. And for other options to be vaccinated, if you are listening, anyone eligible can call 0800 28 2926. That is 0800 28 2926 to book an appointment. But Steve McCabe is a lecturer at Monaco Institute of Technology, MIT, which is just around the corner. Steve, kia ora.
Kia ora, Wallace. How are you?
Good. What have you been hearing and seeing?
Well, I've actually been on campus today. This event's been sponsored, I guess, by the ministry, but MIT have been a partner in it. And I've been delighted to see how many people have been taking and how smoothly it seems to be running.
There were concerns, Steve, that more could be done to entice people. We heard about that, didn't we, a couple of days ago. But how's it going now?
Well, I mean, to address the first issue, I mean, yeah, more can always be done. And I think going through our students, who are obviously, you know, the representatives of the community and who've taken it home to their whānau, I think it was a great way of trying to get people in. But it looks like right now, it's at capacity. You mentioned 15,000. They've actually got 16,500 people have signed up for this. And it seems like they're rattling through them. They're a bit behind schedule, I gather. I was talking to one of the volunteers who was working there from the student body. They're a little bit behind schedule, but considering this is the first event the country's done like this, I think it's a fantastic drive.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see how it goes, Steve. But for now, thank you for the update there. Divine says my favourite toasty is the cheese toasty, which is cheese, chilli and dark chocolate. You have to be kidding. Victoria? Is it a joke?
Well, I can see cheese and chilli, but dark chocolate?
And a toasty? Nick?
I think someone's showing off there, aren't they? Well, actually, I prefer, Russian caviar in my toasties.
Yep. Okay. We're going to be talking about that before 4:30. Anyway, to our mailbag, the Friday mailbag. Now, we talked about making KiwiSaver compulsory. got a large response. So this was one of the ideas that came up. And Lucas said, in Australia, he emailed him from Australia, look at what compulsory has done for me. So my employer pays 9.5% of my salary into a fund and it gets concessional taxation treatment at 15%. The first 10 years, it didn't go that great because I had a bad fund and I didn't take care of it, but I switched and it's going great. I have life insurance in my fund, so if my kids die, my kids and my wife get a $1.5 million payout, enough to clear the mortgage and for them to be secure. The biggest mistake that I made was not looking after it. Now, I have 20 more years to go in my career, so I guess I'm 39, I have another 20 years to add money to it and for the investments to grow. The app on my phone means I can track contributions from my employer and ask them where my things are at if they are late. So you have to do it. It's compulsory. He gave me a screen grab of his of what he has in his account, and it's quite a lot of money. What do you reckon, round the panel of Victoria, would you consider making KiwiSaver compulsory in New Zealand?
Not personally. I'm not a member of KiwiSaver. I'm good with money. I save it. It's an investment I'm happy with.
Those who are in KiwiSaver aren't?
No, I'm not suggesting that, but I do know people who have opted into KiwiSaver because it means they don't need to worry about doing the investments themselves. But personally, I like that I'm self-employed and I like the flexibility of being able to do what I want.
Fair enough. Nick?
I do have a KiwiSaver account, but I'm not very diligent with it. I'm one of these people that I really enjoy spending money. So that's what it is, you know. I will go for the more expensive toastie every time.
Yeah. KiwiSaver's good for you.
It's just something I'm doing just because I set it up with the bank and money comes out. It's not much, but I figure I still buy a lotto ticket every week. No, that's not a good investment plan, but it's just something I'm doing. I've got other investments and I've got money elsewhere, but it's just, honestly, it's not because it was compulsory, it's not because I thought it was a good deal or anything. Mm. It's just something I started doing.
Okay.
I would be interested with that Australian scheme. I don't think they've got the same sort of ways to get access to their money like we do here, like the homeowners, you know, can throw money out and stuff like that.
No carve-outs. And his employer is paying nearly 10% of the salary, which is significant, isn't it? So they've got a massive fund now because it is compulsory. What do you think? Do you think that we should make it compulsory here? And changing the name to Aotearoa, we talked about that yesterday. We had pages and pages of feedback about that, and 48% of you said yes to changing the name and 52% said no. And to the Olympics, someone says, I am old. We would never have exposed our shoulders to the hot sun playing tennis. I can't believe how burnt they must be after three sets, says Vicky. So we're actually going to be discussing the heat at the Olympics because it is one of the hottest Olympics in history. And this was an interesting discussion we had. And it got quite a bit of feedback. So we had a person on the program who decided not to sell at auction. This is the Auckland market where it's almost always at auction, and mainly because you can get a lot more money for it. Simon Oosterman came on and sold his home, which he could have sold for way over $1 million, probably $1.5 million, sold for $950,000 to a family because it was the right thing to do. Jackie says, Wallace, I would sell my house cheaper privately. I'm also calling for a stop of the practice of auctions. They are responsible for inflation in properties, selling to the highest bidder. Around the panel on this one, Wellington, it's not an auction market, is it, Nick?
Well, I don't know. I haven't. It's been a long time since I bought a home. Mm. But as I understand it, if I was selling my home, I would want it to go into auction. If I was buying a home, I would not want it to be
in auction. Victoria,
it's that simple.
Yeah, I think in Wellington, auctions are generally used where there's sort of flaws or problems with a house because, of course, you can't put conditions in. It's up to the person selling. Look, if someone can afford to sell privately and wants to give it for below market to a family, not give it, but sell it below market to a family, I mean, good on them. But a lot of people have their retirement package tied up in their home and they want to get the best price and they should be entitled to go to auction.
Yeah.
And on providing incentives forgoing to get a vaccination. Richard says, what sort of individuals won't get an injection unless someone entertains them? It is not an entertainment. It is for your duty to the community. There is an incentive. Get injected or possibly get the disease. And on that, someone's just texted, I just got my jab and a lollipop at Monaco about an hour behind schedule. Pretty good for the first day. And your favourite toasties are coming through too. Looking forward to reading a few of those out. Jono and Palmy says, I concur, Wallace. Vintage tasty portobello diced with onion and basil pesto between very thin vocals. That's very tasty.
I'm actually quite concerned about the mushroom because it's a bit like putting tomato in a toasted sandwich. Oh. It's delicious, but it burns when it flops down on you.
Save that for later on, Victoria. Save those precious thoughts. I want to hear what you think. All right, tēnā kōrua, nai mai, hoki mai, anō ki. I've been thinking, Victoria, he aha o whakaro. What have you been thinking about this afternoon?
I haven't been following the Olympics too much, but I have been reading a lot about Simone Biles, who of course is a US world champion gymnast who pulled out of the Olympics this week, citing the need to prioritise mental health after she had a bad jump. Apparently she's got the twisties, which is where having learnt how to jump and stuff, you've got your muscle memory, but your brain starts to like second guess, which means that you can actually have quite bad injuries from your jump. And it's a known thing, it's exceptionally dangerous, and apparently there's a lot of people that were gymnasts who were injured in the 70s and 80s because they were sort of forced to continue competing. So, it's terrible. Like there are gymnasts that are now tetraplegics because of it. But so it's a major health and safety thing, and she absolutely should have pulled out, and I hope she gets the support she needs to overcome it. But having said that, I'm really struggling to sympathise with her. So her self-appointed nickname is GOAT, greatest of all time.
She is the greatest of all time, isn't
she's
she?
She's got goats on all her kit. She's got multi-million dollar merchandising deals. She's got her own goat emoji. And look, she is amazing. She's hugely successful. But I just find the lack of humility that goes with a nickname like that to be such that I just really struggle to have any empathy for her. And I sort of feel like that makes me a cow, but I just can't help it.
You're a monster, Victoria.
I know. But, these people that have, national treasures, greatest of all time, these people, what's wrong with them?
What is it about you that lacks empathy?
I'm a sociopath. Did you not know that?
No.
Okay.
What do you reckon, Nick?
What do I reckon about...
On Victoria's thoughts.
Well,
Do you agree with her or not agree with her?
I do, actually. I do find it very hard to sympathise. You know, when you see these stars that are tired and emotional and can't go on stage and things like that, and I think, well, you're worth $500
million.
Well, no, she's probably not. But I do want to... I sympathise with mental illness across the board, mm-hmm. but then there's that balance of, you signed up for it, man, and you're getting millions of dollars in endorsements. It's a tough one, but I I'll all stand up for mental illness.
No, I'm just okay, all right. Nick, I've been thinking.
Well, I've been thinking about, because as a writer, you're a magpie, so you're always thinking about dialogue, trying to pick up dialogue and stuff. And I often overhear things on the street, and I know we all do this, where you catch a little snippet of conversation and then you move on. And I've been talking to people a lot with it lately. Like I had one recently where I walked past a mother telling off her child, and she said, "Now we don't push buttons when we don't know what they do, because remember what happened last time? That man caught on fire." And I was going, what? A man caught on fire? There's a button? And I walked away and never found out the rest of it. Was she telling her child that, did she lie to the child and say there's a button that set a person on fire? But it was
great. I love
this,
Nick. Do you know that there used to be a website in New York called Overheard Conversations?
Yes, I did. You've just reminded me of it. But I mean, it might be interesting to hear what your listeners have overheard, and then I can pick it up like a magpie.
Does anybody remember a golden overheard conversation? Love to hear from you. 2101. A lot to discuss this afternoon, including the Olympics, of course, with Victoria Stewart and Nick Ward. Stay with us, 4 to 5. The panel, right here.